Hi, Dan.
What? Which one am I? Hi, Jason.
Oh, you're Dan.
Oh.
You're Dan.
I'm not as talented or handsome as Dan.
I think
he
writes
books.
I think that's
a cool
debatable.
Hat on all the time.
He does. Hi, Stephen Hackett. You're Dan today. Hi.
Hi.
Dan's on assignment on a train somewhere. I don't know. So I didn't want to leave
colors,
the people waiting.
Very important train coverage.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Dan and Guy English keep talking about how they want to do a podcast someday. That is literally they're just drinking on a train and talking.
Yeah, the Railcast.
Yeah, nobody's going to want to hear that, but they don't care. They may even not release it. It'll be like that podcast that was never recorded that those guys did.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm well aware of that project.
This is a podcast that is recorded, which is different. So, looking like no Apple event, huh?
Doesn't seem like it. I mean, we're recording this on the 25th.
No invites. They're not going to, do a surprise thing where they jump out of a cake and release a product on Tuesday.
Surprise, MacBook Pro. And we're a week away from Apple TV Plus launching on November 1st,
Boy. Yeah, you and I are going to have to dig into For All Mankind. That's going to have to happen, you and me. We're going to have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one I'm going to first. I liked their tweet that implies or followed them or whatever. I have to do that. That basically means that I've signed up to their spam on Twitter. Apple's use of Twitter is so bizarre.
It is.
They're like, no, don't follow us. We won't tweet. Instead, like our tweet, and then you'll see things that we say, even though you're not following us. I don't understand how that... Fine, whatever.
Dude, I discovered this week there's an Apple TV Plus, or a bunch of Apple TV Plus shows have Instagram accounts, and they've been sharing images. They're doing it. Apple's on social media. It's very strange.
Yeah. Well, that's the way... That's the funny thing that one day that story will be told, which is the how the new group at Apple doing TV has imported the best practices and maybe the worst practices of the TV industry. And where has that collided with the way Apple does things? Because there are two industries that have different approaches to some stuff, and now they've collided. I have heard from TV critics, not just the one that I do a podcast with, but other TV critics, that some of their choices, if you want to see their shows in advance to review them, you can do it, but they make you come to their office and watch it in a closet somewhere on a laptop.
It's very strange.
There are services. This is the thing they'll figure it out. But there are services that are apps that you can actually get on Apple TV that are screener services, and you register with a screener service, and then TV outlets release shows in advance through that app to the critics that they choose. And it's there's a whole distribution system. They don't send discs anymore. They don't do anything like that. You just stream it. And Apple's not doing any of that, apparently. They're just saying, come by the office in New York or LA, and we'll put you in a closet somewhere with a laptop and somebody over your shoulder, and you can very uncomfortably watch an episode of our show on a laptop that we spent billions of dollars on to be on 4K HDR, but you can see it on a laptop instead. I don't know.
Well, they'll get there.
I think so. I think that's, if they're going to keep doing this, then they're going to figure out this is not how you do some of this stuff that's the Apple approach to security or we're different. It's you're not that different. Giving one episode in a closet to a TV critic is not how Netflix does it. It's not not how Amazon doesn't. Don't do it that way. And maybe they will learn. Because I think one of the narratives that I'm really happy to have end in a week is the whole Apple's doing TV. You mean Planet of the Apps? Ha 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 ha. Carpool Karaoke? Yeah. No. Those were bought by computer people. The people running this thing are not computer people. They're TV people, and we'll judge them accordingly. But the shows that come out next Friday, those are going to be real shows. Cost a lot of money to make.
So. It's real shows, or it's going to be a real nightmare for Apple.
Well, that's going to be one of the fascinating things, is what happens when they drop. What are those reviews going to be, and which shows are going to work and which shows are going to not? Because there's a bunch of big swings. They're not taking little swings. For All Mankind, C, and The Morning Show are all big swings. The Dickinson show is also kind of a big swing. Like these are mm-hmm. these are going to be, people are going to have thoughts, people are going to have opinions, and that's going to be fascinating, because then Apple has to deal with like this one. They're going to get numbers too, right? Like this one's a hit, people loved it, this one is not. And because it's taken so long, a lot of these shows are already renewed because they had to renew them because their contracts were going to run out. So like if something really stiffs, they're going to have to just kind of grin and bear it and keep making those shows.
And there's already a report that some of the shows have been picked up by season two already.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
They're in it.
Yeah, they have to. They have to. That's like I was saying, it's they have to do it because my understanding is, you know, you get to that point where you have to release the actors from the contracts if you don't pick up the show. And Apple, you know, I got the sense from the, I think maybe a Bloomberg article about this. They were talking about For All Mankind, and like very clearly that show was done 6 months ago. And they thought, I think they were absolutely planning to tie it to the 50th anniversary of the first moon landing. Welp. That didn't launch. And but that also gets you on a point where you have to say yes to more of this show. Now they've seen it, right? Like executives aren't completely like renewing it having not seen it. We haven't seen it, and they haven't seen the critical reaction to it, but like they've seen it. And mm-hmm. so they're like, yeah, okay, second season of that, and I think of C and of Dickinson. I think those are all already renewed. And then Morning Show already was given a 2-year commitment, 2-season commitment. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it doesn't stop, right? That's the other funny thing, is this is a treadmill. As soon as they flip the switch and launch this thing, they got to keep releasing new shows.
Right. It's not a MacBook Pro that you can release every 18 months. It's,
right.
And that's what I wonder, too, is like, are there shows? I mean, surely there are. There are shows that we don't know about that will launch in February, right? And I'm curious to see what their cadence will be like. I mean, Netflix releases stuff seemingly all the time.
Right.
And Apple's, it's going to take them a while to get up to that scale. And like how will Apple approach that? Will they view these as, okay, this is our spring 2020 season, here are 4 new shows, these shows are back for season 2, or is it going to be sort of a steady trickle that slowly ramps up over time?
Right, given that they're doing this more HBO like rollout, they're doing a weekly rollout for a lot of these shows where they're going to drop like 2 or 3 on day one, but then the rest of them will play out over a weekly cadence. I think that it's most likely that they're going to do the HBO thing where, you know, either on the week that the last episode drops or the week after the last episode drops of Prestige Show A, you know, Prestige Show F comes along, right? Like that they'll try to like pace it all so that there's always new stuff. As the old stuff is ending, the new stuff is coming in, so you always need to be on. That was always mm-hmm. the HBO approach. So, you know, this show ends and this next show begins is like right. the trick. Like you know, whatever, Game of Thrones ends, but the very next week is Westworld or whatever, you know, that's the idea. I would imagine they're going to do that, but I think they're also going to experiment. Like some shows it sounds like they are going to try to do the binge thing with, and other shows they're not. And boy, let me tell you, I know people like binging shows, but like I hate the binge release. I hate it because...
How do you feel about it, Jason?
I don't like it, Stephen. I don't like it because a season of TV is not a movie. People aren't, you know, most people are not going to watch 10 hours of something in a day or two. But some people are, and you end up with everybody's in a different place. They're not able to talk about it. And TV, if it's not a 10-hour-long movie, if it's individual episodes, like those episodes deserve to be discussed and analyzed and talk about what's next with your friends or whatever. And the binge drop kind of eliminates that because you don't know where anybody is. And by the time they've seen it, you know, you're on to the next thing. And I feel like Netflix doing it the way it does, it works for their marketing model and it works because they're Netflix, but like, I think that's the wrong decision. So I'm happy that Apple is mostly going to be doing these things over time because I really, I want, like, Watchmen just premiered on HBO and like everybody's had all week to talk about what happened in the first episode of Watchmen. And like, that's good. what I don't want, I would not want all 9 episodes of Watchmen to have dropped on Sunday, because I would have seen 1 or 2 and people would be talking about what happened in episode 6, and I'm not there yet. And I like it better this way, you know. And for people who like to binge a show, just wait and then binge it when it's all there. Like, you could do that too. But yeah. Anyway, so I hope Apple stays with this approach. I think it's a better approach.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk about the where we started, the Apple event, what they have left to do this year.
Yeah.
Because the more I think about it, especially the 16-inch MacBook Pro, that's the most interesting. The Mac Pro is going to come out when it comes out. People are going to buy that no matter what month it is, because there's assumedly pent-up demand for that sort of workstation computer. But the 16-inch MacBook Pro, I mean, now if they're going to release it, you know, the next couple of weeks, I assume it'll be to, you know, press outlets, right? Like, people like you potentially would get one, you get a briefing, and then there's an embargo and it all becomes public knowledge. But I just wonder now, in hindsight, now that we feel pretty confident there's not an event, I wonder if the 16-inch MacBook Pro was ever in the mix for that, for a couple of reasons. One, if that machine sits above the 15-inch, like we think it might, or even if it replaces the 15-inch, that's going to be a pretty expensive computer. And if it fixes the keyboard, how does Apple handle that? Do they say, hey, it's got a new keyboard? Do they say nothing? Because if the rumors are to be believed, the 13-inch MacBook Pro and the MacBook Air are not getting this keyboard yet. They're going to get it sometime next year. It's like, how do you position all of that if you're Apple? Like, oh, well, we fixed the keyboard, but it's only this super high-end expensive computer and the rest of you have to wait. Like, that just seems like a very unusual thing to deal with. It is a little bit like the Retina MacBook Pro in 2012, where it was above the regular 15-inch in the line. It dropped a bunch of ports. It was thin. It had the Retina display. But that was different because it wasn't fixing something that was broken in the line. It was just like, this is clearly the future, and the future will come to everybody eventually. But that's not what this system is. I don't think this computer is a vast rethink of the MacBook Pro. I think it's going to basically be the MacBook Pro we know, just with a better keyboard, and that's about it. Like, they're not bringing ports back, I don't think, on this. So, I know, like, what do you think about this machine and how Apple could position it? And did you think it was ever in the mix for an event?
In hindsight, I think not, because the iPad Pro seems to have been on an 18-month schedule, and this event makes a lot more sense if the iPad is also a part of it. Mm-hmm. And the rumor has never been that it's been anything other than the 16 laptop. So the other members of the family aren't there. You know, how they roll it out, I think, is going to be typical Apple, which is going to be, let's tell you all these things that are great about it. And they will. So the keyboard will be phrased in a way, we all know how it's going to go. It's going to be like, well, we've got this great new keyboard, and it's using scissor switches, so you get more travel and more tactile feedback. And they'll talk about all the reasons that it's good without ever addressing the fact that the old one was controversial. They'll be like, well, this one is better and more reliable. I mean, they might say more reliable, but they'll do it, and it'll be all just accentuate the positive, right? That's all it is. But I think you're right in that, other than the animated GIF that toggles back and forth, where you're like, aha, I see a slight gap at the top of that keyboard at an extreme angle. That might mean something, which I do think it means something. So aside from, like, maybe adjusting the touch bar to do something like keep a physical escape key and then have the touch bar, aside from that, I think you're right. I think this is going to be more or less the same laptop that we've been seeing from Apple, not just for 3 years, but really for many years. And I think it's because Apple this was my Macworld column this week, was really like, what do they have left to do with this? And the answer is, most laptop innovations now are happening in ways that are like not a laptop. And Apple has steadfastly refused to play that game. The only way they've even remotely played that game is the touch bar on the Mac, and it's the smart keyboard for the iPad. Like, that's it. They will not go closer. And so much of the laptop, I was looking at all these Windows laptops, like, it's all, they're all 2-in-1s, they're all convertibles. I could see them putting a 4K screen on. There are some 4K screen laptops out there, and I could see them doing that. The rumor is that that's not the case. It's the same resolution that it's been. So I think there's an argument to be made. I hate to be the one to make it, but it's like, if Apple's going to stick to traditional laptop, I'm not sure what there is they could do other than dress it up. Like, other than literally, let's make it look different so it looks different. Like, mm-hmm. like, and that's fashion more than anything else. But I had a hard time thinking of, like, major ways to revamp and rethink the MacBook. And I'm not sure the Pro model is the place to do that anyway. I think maybe they learned their lesson 3 years ago that the Mac and the Pro Max especially just need to be, like, people want it the way they want it. They want to do their jobs. They don't really want right. to be doing something new. And I heard a conspiracy theory a couple people talked about that I think is not necessarily wrong, which is the best kind of conspiracy theory, which is, what if Apple's putting all their weight into conceiving of what an ARM laptop is like? And mm-hmm. that's the next new laptop from Apple. And they went back and kind of like patched together this MacBook Air because the MacBook was basically a failure. But beyond that, like, they're working on the next thing and they're not worried about this. And I think there might be some truth to that, that this is like, they know what a Pro laptop is supposed to be and they messed up on the keyboard and they'll fix that. But like, I don't think it's very likely that they're going to be like, no, you're right. We're going to put in an HDMI port and an SD card reader. And like, I just don't think they're going to do it.
Mm-mm. No, I think there are going to be people who look at this new machine or are disappointed that they didn't basically revise the 2015, you know, like the last one with sure. the scissor keyboard and all the ports. Like, that's just not happening. I mean, the Mac Pro is like the biggest example I can think of Apple really going back to a previous like philosophy in a product, right? Like, it even looks the same, right? It's like an updated cheese grater. And
right.
I just don't see them doing that with the MacBook Pro. I think that the 2013 Mac Pro, the trash can, is such an outlier in like that they all failed with video issues. They didn't meet the needs of their customers. They proved to be actually pretty, like, people bought them because they had to, but no one bought that computer because they liked it, at least after the first couple of years. And the MacBook Pro is just not that bad off. Like, there are people who complain about it, and a lot of that's justified. But the MacBook Pro is not a sinking ship like the trash can was.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I think Apple, again, people are going to really roll their eyes given what's happened this last generation. But I think Apple thinks that they've got the laptop exactly where they want it. And that when they, in fact, I would say their lesson learned from this last 3 years is, we tried to do these things that were innovative and they just blew up in our faces. So mm-hmm. It turns out we were right before. We really did get this right. And it's not going to be more ports, but it is going to be like, let's fix the keyboard thing and let's address the touch bar. But it seems like maybe in a way where they keep the touch bar, but it's just for the function keys and not for the escape key. And they just kind of, either it's parked because they're going to move on. I mean, the backstory here, and I think you and I have talked about this too, it's very clear that at one point Apple's philosophy with the Mac is, let's park it. Like, let's just yeah. let it be what it is. The people who are going to use it, it's a legacy product. People are going to use it for the next 5 or 10 years, but it's going to be the people who already are using it. There are going to be no new users. The people who are using it are using it because it's what it is. We're not going to transform it into something different. We'll just park it. And that's why we got the iMac Pro, and that's why we got a lot of the decisions they made about it. And then at some point they seem to have been like, okay, all right, we are going to pay attention to the Mac. And that's where we start to see maybe some other interesting, weird, you know, hybrid technologies and all of that. Be careful what you wish for. Now Apple's paying attention to the Mac. But I think there is an argument to be made that on the laptop side, their lesson that they learned is, let's not mess this up. Like, this is a solved problem. Like, we fixed it. This is what people want is what they get, and not that weird keyboard that we added, maybe not the touch bar that they added, but like, just give them what they want. And if we want to innovate, let's do it somewhere else. And maybe that's an ARM MacBook that's super thin and light and weird. Maybe it's a convertible thing that is a Mac or an iPad or in between. But maybe the Pro laptop is the last thing you would ever want to change. And it's just like, we did it, everybody. Here it is. And I hate to be making an end of history kind of argument, but this is like end of history argument with a footnote, which is like, maybe we perfected the traditional laptop. And there are other kinds of devices you can make, Apple, that other people are making, and you're not really, other than the iPad. But this is maybe as far as it goes, because from here it gets weird. And your customers, for your pro Mac customers, don't want weird.
I tend to agree with you. I feel like the MacBook Pro is in its like most distilled version.
It's final form. It's perfect final form is this, other than fixing the keyboard, right? But like,
yeah,
because everywhere, you know, the thought process for me when I was writing that article was, where did they go from here? And every path I see from there that isn't just, let's make it look a little different so that we can say it looks different. Every other path is someplace weird that other people are trying and that Apple has refused to go. Apple has refused to make a 2-in-1 convertible, a, you know, whether you fold it over backward and it becomes a tablet or you pull it off. They've got the iPad where they're going exploring those ideas a little bit. And they're keeping the iPad and the laptop at arm's length. And
heyo.
Yeah, ho. And then so what, I mean, I always thought back in the day before this whole keyboard thing, and I think they might even be, this might actually come back, I always thought the final form of the MacBook would be the Microsoft Neo, which is mm-hmm. a laptop that's two screens, and that Apple has it is the logical follow up to the idea of the iPad or the iPhone, that why do you have a keyboard when you can have a screen that can be a keyboard or be other things. And I think that sounds horrifying to a lot of people, but I think if you're using haptics and you're intelligently sensing where people's fingers are on the screen so that if they're off a little bit, you can actually slide the keyboard. You might even be able to use a camera to see where their hands are and do it. Like, could you make a decent device where it would be okay to type even though it's a pane of glass? I think I'm willing to say that it's possible, but again, I look at what just happened with this keyboard and I think probably what Apple takes away from it is, okay, no weird stuff with the MacBook Pro. Got it.
Mm-hmm.
However, I will give you a 5% chance that Apple looks at that and says, see, touchscreens can't get dust under them. Touchscreen keys don't get stuck by crumbs. So we need to eliminate all those keys and then this solves the problem. I don't think they're going to do that, but you know,
I don't either.
But you know, I it's hard for me not to think like you're at the North Pole with the MacBook Pro and it's like all directions are south from here. Like you can't mm-hmm. from here, you have to go south. And like, so just embrace it maybe with that product and say, this product is great. We'll just keep updating it. That's why I kind of think that the ARM transition is going to happen on the MacBook Pro for a very long time if it happens everywhere else. Because why? Like, just, you know, give them what they want. And in the end, it comes back to that, not nostalgia, but that like steady state of like the people who want this product are the people who like it because it doesn't change. So right. Give it to them. And build a different product somewhere else, which is why I think it's much more likely that they would iterate on like iPad OS and do weird form factors on iPad OS than on the Mac, because every change you make to the Mac makes people not like the Mac as much. And, mm-hmm. you know, so why bother?
What a time to be alive.
I think it's a fascinating problem that Apple's success on touchscreen devices has trapped it. In a way that Microsoft and Microsoft's failure has freed it. I think that's really interesting that like Windows is all these weird things now because Microsoft has to try to do something in this world where, you know, most of the people using computers over time are people who grew up with touchscreen interfaces. And, you know, and so Microsoft's like, okay, Windows is going to do weird stuff. And Apple's like, got that already. So the Mac, mm-hmm. they feel no pressure to do that, and it's that might be the right play in the long term, but it might also stifle the Mac into just being a dinosaur.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's maybe even a little bit of that now. It's like
mm-hmm.
you look at what is going on in Windows and all these form factors. Yeah, some of them are silly, but I think there is utility in having a touchscreen with you. But then you look at something like Sidecar and Catalina, where you can't even interact with macOS elements without the pencil.
Yeah, it's so bad that Apple blocked it out.
This is not ready for touch.
So bad. They're like, no, no, no. And I've tried to use it without with my finger on Luna Display, and it's no good. No good. Like, you can sort of do it, but it's bad. It's a bad experience. And that they would need to. And imagine if you're a Mac user and you don't care about this touchscreen junk, and all of a sudden all of your interface elements are big and weird and stuff and look like iOS. You're like, that would just make everybody angry. But you would need to do that if you want to make it a touchscreen operating system, which is why, you know, as a Mac user, I look at it and think, what I really would like, somebody said, you know, my answer to the question when they're like, why do you put a keyboard on your iPad and not just use a MacBook? And my answer is always, my stock answer now is, they don't make a MacBook where I can tear the screen off and use it as a tablet. They don't.
Right.
And I use it as a tablet 95% of the time. So I want the tablet. The keyboard is an option, and I can slide it into that bridge case, or I can use a smart keyboard. And like, that's just sort of where we are is, you know, if Apple made a convertible, if Apple made a 2-in-1 that ran macOS and iOS or something like that, great. Like, sign me up. I'm really interested in that product because I'm a Mac user and an iPad user, but I don't see them doing that either. That's like a super weird product that I could see one of Apple's, you know, weird computer industry competitors doing, but like, that's not Apple. Weird products that Apple doesn't release weird products that it's just releasing to see what happens. Like, they'll just not release it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, they're too big. Like, it's too... Do anything like that is just too risky for them at this point.
Whereas Microsoft and Samsung certainly, but like, Microsoft is happy to do that with these products. They're like, yeah, we'll see what happens. And if we hit on one, great. And if not, then we'll just throw some more things at the wall. But I don't know if you've given it a close look, but like that Neo, the laptop with the two surfaces, I'm kind of intrigued by it. Like, and the fact that they've done some things that, like, you can magnetically snap on basically like a smart keyboard and it turns it into a physical keyboard with a touch bar. Like, that's really smart. Like, I love that they're trying all of this. I'm 100% sure that Apple has done every single one of these things in their lab and that none of them they've decided are good enough. But that could be as much about their taste as it is about their orthodoxy, right? Like, we don't know. And maybe that Windows Neo, Surface Neo thing will be a hit and Apple will be like, all right, we got that wrong. Let's bring one out. But I don't know. I'm fascinated by it as a product. What do you think about it?
I am too. I think it's super interesting that it has the keyboard you can clip onto it.
Yeah.
Like, they're saying, hey, if you want to use it this way, you can, but if you want to use it this other way, we can do that too. And that's
magnets.
How the Surface line is how the iPad line is. But I think it's really intriguing that they have made something that is so, in a way, so fundamentally different than other environments that Windows is in, that they gave that version of Windows a new name, you know, Windows 10 X 10, whatever it is, however they're pronouncing it. I'm intrigued to see it when it comes out. And I think that Microsoft doesn't get the credit it deserves when it comes to the Surface line. You know, there were 2-in-1s out there when they did the Surface. But the Surface, I think, did a really good job at showing the world how a good 2-in-1 should behave. And now Lenovo and Dell and HP, all of them do it. And, you know, I think that if the dual screen thing is going to take off, I don't think it's on the back of Mike's silly Samsung phone. I think it is on something that is more mainstream than that. And, you know, and to its credit, they're not actually following the screen, right? They just have hinges and they're doing some clever stuff. And Microsoft is really good at hinges. They're the best hinge company on the planet. And I'm excited to see it. I really am.
Yep. They're... the best hinge company on the planet. I think that they need that on like a plaque in their headquarters.
Yeah. Title.
Good
titles on this show.
We
but,
don't
you know.
No, the title. I can predict the title already. It's going to be October 25th, 2019.
Yeah. Well, if there were titles, that would be.
Yeah.
That would be it. So yeah, you know, it's going to be an exciting end of the year, right? We've got lots of TV stuff, maybe more Macs, maybe some AirPods. Who knows? I kind of like the mystery of it at this point of what they're going to do.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. And I hope This is the weekly, you may not know this, but this is the weekly canary in the coal mine. I was going to say, I hope that we get some Mac stuff. But I will say I have not heard a word from Apple about any new products. That is my canary mm-hmm. statement of the week. Because people are like, oh, Jason's just playing coy. He knows what's going on. He can't say. It's like, well, they can make me not tell you, but they can't make me lie. And I haven't heard from them. So there's nothing. I got nothing. So if there are 16-inch MacBook Pro seed units out there and reviewers are looking at them and there's going to be an announcement next week, they left me out of it, which that could happen. It happens. I'd be surprised by it, but that does happen. But anyway, this is your canary reporting in. I got nothing. So don't make any bets. All right. Well, Stephen, thank you so much for sitting in for Dan, who was on the train.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Anytime.
Yeah. All right. Well, bye, Dan.
Bye, Jason.